In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. What happens when we die? Do you ever think about that? Years ago, a pastor friend of mine was on vacation when a member of his parish died, and I was called to do the funeral. When I arrived at the church before the funeral, I was surprised to find out that the deceased had been the grandfather of a family that I knew quite well. Before the service, I was talking with his daughter-in-law. We were doing the usual catching up kind of small talk, when suddenly she said to me, "You know, I really don't know what happens when a person dies. I don't think we ever really talked about it much at church." Many people could make that comment, I'm sure. Death is a taboo subject. But today, you won't be able to say that you never heard about death in church. A lot of things I hear people say about death are not biblical or even Christian. Those statements often reflect a misunderstanding of our faith, and some are actually the opposite of our Christian teaching. William Shakespeare's Hamlet called death the undiscovered country from whose bourne no traveler returns. That's not true. Jesus Christ died and rose again. With that in mind, I think death and the Christian makes a good topic for this All Saints Sunday. St. Paul wrote extensively about death in his epistles. The Revelation has much to say about death as well. And the Bible in general has a lot to say about death. And today we'll hear what the Bible says. Many people, certainly atheists, and some people who say they believe in God, or at least they think they do, think that death is the absolute end of our existence. It is the final, complete annihilation of all that we are. They think that when we die, there is no afterlife, just oblivion, non-being. For some people, that fuels the lifestyle of you only go around once in life, so you got to grab all the gusto you can. Or the idea of carpe diem, that phrase that was so popular a few years ago, that is, seize the day. It's not quite how we look at things. There is life beyond this earthly life, and we really should focus on that more. Our hopes for eternal life should fuel our actions in this life. We human beings in this life have a body and a soul that are joined together seamlessly and work together. Death is defined as the separation of the body from the soul. Now, it's not my goal this morning to talk much about the physical aspects of death. Surely you may have heard about near-death experiences, NDEs, with the tunnel and the light and the beckoning loved ones and so forth. Those NDEs are fascinating to think about, and they've been studied a lot by serious researchers. I have not had an NDE myself. But once I was in a freak accident and almost bled out. At a certain point, I felt very calm and peaceful, and I remember saying to myself, if this is death, it's not so bad. But I take some comfort from that experience, but our faith is not ultimately based on our experiences or even science. Our faith is based on the word of God. In the parable of the rich fool, Jesus says that the man's soul was required of him. At the crucifixion, Jesus gives up his spirit to God the Father. These are examples of the body and the soul being separated at the moment of death. We might ask, where did death come from anyway? Why do we have to die? Death was not God's intention for human beings that he created, although he certainly could see it coming, and salvation was part of his plan from the very beginning. Death entered the world through sin. When the first human beings, Adam and Eve, broke God's law, then disease and natural disasters and death were the consequences. So blame Adam and Eve, blame Satan for death, but don't blame God. It's not his fault. The death we experience at the end of our earthly lives has been called temporal death or bodily death or the first death. As we said, death was part of God's punishment for sin. Paul wrote, "The wages of sin is death." Now, there may be a couple different ways of looking at death from our faith perspective, but we must always keep in mind that death is a punishment for original sin. That's important because Jesus died. He took on the punishment for our sins. If death wasn't the punishment for sin, then Jesus wouldn't be our Savior and we'd be lost. All people die, including Christians, because we're all sinners. Genesis tells us that God made us from the dust of the earth, and as we say on Ash Wednesday, to dust we will return. There is nothing naturally immortal about us. Life after death is something that God gives us, not something innate, not something we earn or deserve. For the unbeliever, death is bitter and to be dreaded. For those who oppose God, death is the expression of God's wrath. You don't want to face death without Christ in your corner. But for the Christian, Christ took away the sting of death. We need not fear death because of what Christ has done for us. We who are in Christ will not suffer what is known as the second death, that is God's eternal condemnation of our souls. So when we think of death, we think in terms that are calm and peaceful. The Bible talks about death as resting or sleeping. In the Old Testament, it's referred to as being gathered to one's people. The death of Christ is the gateway to blessed eternal life for us. Sure, this life is all we've known. We like it here, and we don't want to leave our family and friends. We all hope to live a long, happy, healthy life. But when we shuffle off this mortal coil, to use another Shakespearean term from Hamlet, we will go to a better place. But when do we get to that better place? Years ago, people used to write epitaphs on tombstones much more than they did today. In an old cemetery, you might find side by side one headstone that says the person buried here is in heaven, and another grave marker says that the occupant is awaiting the resurrection. So which is it? Do believers sleep in their graves until the resurrection on Judgment Day, or do we go directly to heaven? The answer is yes, both. How can that be? The Christian soul between death and our bodily resurrection is immediately with Christ in heaven. What did Jesus say to the good thief on the cross, the one who asked Jesus to remember him in his kingdom? Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." St. Paul, speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. St. Stephen, the first Christian martyr, commended his spirit into God's hands as Jesus did during his crucifixion right before he died. The best biblical evidence is that Christian souls are immediately in God's presence as soon as they die, while their bodies await the resurrection of all flesh. We'll have more to say about the resurrection of the body later, but this seems to be a good time to say that everything that we Christians say about death can be backed up by Holy Scripture. It's also true, for the most part, though, that the Bible only speaks about the world to come in broad, general terms, giving us hints and glimpses, and probably not answering all of our questions. This is because heaven is so far removed from our experience that we fully can't comprehend it now. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe me, how can you believe me when I tell you about heavenly things?" Trust me, we are all at least as thick as Nicodemus. Trying to imagine what heaven is like trying to imagine a new primary color. As we often say, the Bible may not tell us all that we want to know, but it tells us what we need to know. So what's heaven like? Heaven is a place, but it's a spiritual place, unlike anything we have ever known. You may recall the story about the cosmonaut who came back from a trip to space and reported that he did not see heaven. That proves nothing. Heaven isn't the kind of place you can see with mortal eyes on this side of the grave. The Revelation gives us a snapshot of heaven, heavy with symbols and images. We may not understand all that, but we know that it will be beautiful beyond compare. And it does say that we will rest from their labors there. I don't know about you, but I could always use some extra rest. In the Bible, rest, though, means more than just chillaxing. Rest is being blessed and happy, no worries, no anxieties. In heaven, we'll be free from the desire to sin, and we will be free from the negative effects of sin. There will be no pain, no sorrow in heaven. There we will see God face to face, and we will see our departed loved ones. So the state of the Christian soul between death and judgment day, when Christ returns to earth, is good. It's very good. The Bible teaches us, and we confess in our creed each week, that Jesus will come to judge the living and the dead. What will that be like? Now, I wish that I had several hours to preach and teach of what the Bible says about this, but I'll try to be succinct. Christ will come again. We know not when, although only God the Father knows. It does us no good to speculate about that. But we do know that he will appear once, publicly and to all. There will be no secret, no doubt about his return. Both believers and unbelievers will be resurrected right then. We will be restored to the same body that we had in this life. There will be a reunion of our body and soul. These things are certain. Both the Old and New Testament witness to these things. Until they happen, we can't grasp them fully, but we know that they are true. Christ's judgment of all people will be immediate upon his return to earth. That judgment will be instantaneous. It will occur in a moment. There will be no second chances to repent after death. The Bible in Hebrews 9 warns us about that. All people will be judged on the basis of their works. Believers will be granted entrance to God's kingdom because their sins are forgiven in Christ. It will be as if they had never once sinned. For the Christian, there is no condemnation. But for the non-believers, because of their sins, they will go to that place of anguish and torment. That is what's called the second death. There is no purgatory where sins can be purged and somebody made ready for heaven. For us in Christ, we are saved from that second death. The resurrection of the body on Judgment Day means that we will have a new body with new qualities in eternal life. That precludes any pagan notions about reincarnation or transmigration. Scripture describes these bodies as immortal and incorruptible. heavenly in both senses of the word. There will be no disabilities in them. They will be perfect in every way. We will not be angels. People don't become angels when they die. Humans and angels are two different species. The closest thing we compare our resurrection body to is Christ's body after he was resurrected. Exactly what will we do in heaven? We will not be idle. We will not float around on clouds all day playing harps. The revelation shows God's people worshiping him eternally. Heaven is endless worship. Sometimes people ask, do I have to go to church to go to heaven? And we might answer, if you don't like church, you probably won't like heaven very much because it's going to be a lot of singing hymns and praising God. Our services here in that way are a preview of heaven. Scripture also tells us that we will reign with Christ. I don't know precisely what that means, but it sure sounds like a lot of fun. There's a lot more that we could say about Christians and death and the afterlife. These teachings are not offered as points for debate, but to give us a focus on the life to come. Our life in this world is just a tiny drop in the ocean of eternity. May these teachings comfort us and hope us, give us hope, particularly as we think on this All Saints Day about our loved ones. Now, of course, we don't pray to them. They can't visit us from beyond the grave. But by God's grace, we will be reunited with them soon enough. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.